Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. Evicted fig tree commercial farmer David Connolly says he is still being barred from visiting his farm by representatives of a top official in the president's office.
We've got tomatoes, we've got cabbages that need to be irrigated. And so I'm going to go out again to irrigate the lands and see what happens. But it's a very volatile and unacceptable position as far as I'm concerned.
Educationists say Zimbabwe's universities should provide the necessary student information for public scrutiny in order to avoid speculation on the awarding of degrees.
What I can state and state categorically is that a person should earn the degree by way of the knowledge and ability and understanding that they have attained. You don't just get it.
And tonight we feature a Zimbabwean woman who owns one of the largest security companies in the country. Stay tuned. Evicted fig tree commercial farmer David Connolly says he is still being barred from visiting his farm by representatives of a top official in the president's office. Connolly tells Studio 7 his lawyers are working on the case while the farm remains in the hands of a group of militant youths allegedly deployed by Deputy Secretary in the Office of the President and Cabinet, Mr. Ray Ndlugula. He says some of his cultivated crops have not been watered for more than 3 days now, while his proposed dairy farming project is in jeopardy.
We've got tomatoes, we've got cabbages that need to be irrigated. And so I'm going to go out again to irrigate the lands and see what happens. But it's a very volatile and unacceptable position as far as I'm concerned.
So roughly, can you tell me a little bit about your losses? What is your estimate of your losses?
Well, it's difficult, you know, because all my workers have been evicted from their houses, you know. And so I'm getting the human rights guys to do that, and I haven't got that from them on a daily basis, what it's costing my workers to be. Obviously, that will go to the workers, you know. From my point of view, I've got crops that were, I would estimate, right as we stand today, $50,000, eh? You know, but that's increasing on a daily basis, eh? There were 24 evicted from the compound that they evicted the workers from. But then they had a minimum of four people, children and gogos and, elder brothers. Unemployment, as you know, is ravishing in this country. And so one guy, if he's got a job, he will be looking after five or six people, hey? You know, and they were living there. So in fact, there was over 100 people in that compound.
And we are informed that we're actually in the process of establishing a dairy farm. Tell us a bit about this.
I have been a previous chairman of the National Association of Dairy Farmers, and I was very, very involved in the privatization of Dairy Board to a limited company on the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange. You know, the time that I was chairman of NABF, we privatized DZL. You know, and I worked at length with Minister Kangai at that time, and that's where I have a lot of positives, because government was unbelievably helpful to us at that time, and everything that we required in the privatization of DZL was signed off by Minister Kangai. He was Minister of Agriculture at that time, you know. Obviously, with what we've gone through, production in the dairy industry has dropped from 226,000 tons at that time down to around about 50,000 tons now. We're importing about 50,000 tons. So I know all the big guys at Dairy Board. You know, they were there when I was there. In fact, the chief executive of Dairy Board, Anthony Mandiwanza, was manager of the Bulawayo factory back in 1983-84. So I know him very, very well, you know. The finance man, Thompson Mambika, I know him very well. I went to see them earlier in the year because the deputy ministers had come to the farm and they were very encouraged with what we were doing.
That was commercial farmer David Connolly of Centenary Park in Fig Tree, Mateo in South Province, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Ndlugula maintains that he was allocated the land by the government early this year. The top civil servant says time will come for him to clearly spell out his side of the story.
The World Health Organization says another 84 people have died in West Africa as a result of the Ebola virus, bringing the death toll from the epidemic to 1,229. We know countries like Zimbabwe do not currently have problems with the Ebola virus, but just in case, here is how you can prevent the Ebola virus from spreading. avoid physical contact with people showing symptoms, that is continuous high fever, red eyes, vomiting, and stomach ache. Wash hands thoroughly and frequently, including under the fingernails. Use soap and clean water. Use gloves when taking care of infected patients. Cook all animal food and byproducts thoroughly. Avoid bush meat. Wear protective clothing and gloves when handling animals, and do not touch anyone who has died from Ebola.
Educationists say Zimbabwe's universities should normally provide the necessary student information for public scrutiny in order to avoid speculation on the awarding of degrees and related documents. In an interview following the recent graduation of President Robert Mugabe's wife, Grace, which is causing a stir in the social media, several educationists say Zimbabweans need to access information about student qualifications from public and private universities. They say if this is not done, some of the degrees being awarded would be degraded in the country and beyond. Mrs. Mugabe was kept by her husband at the University of Zimbabwe on the same day Vice President Joyce Mujuru graduated. The two were awarded PhDs. For perspective on Zimbabwean degrees, Studio 7 speaks to former Deputy Education Secretary Isaac Mbofu.
A university that is worth its standard confers degrees that people have worked for and people should deserve them. Certain universities like Makerere University and like certain universities in America, you know, simply confer degrees that are not worth very much. In the case of Makerere Idi Amini, because he was the president, he could confer degrees first on himself and secondly on his close relatives and so forth. And Makerere lost its status among the universities of the world. And so Zimbabwe should be very, very careful. And if any university in Zimbabwe were to simply confer degrees that people don't deserve, then the education of Zimbabwe will be looked down upon throughout the world, and we will lose the status that we have had throughout the world.
So at the end of the day, looking at the University of Zimbabwe, do you think that those people who actually obtained degrees there may lose their kind of, respect?
I wouldn't say at the present moment. I'm not aware who may be involved or in what capacity such degrees may have been conferred. It's difficult to say, but what I can state and state categorically is that a person should earn the degree by way of the knowledge and ability and understanding that they have attained. You don't just get it either because you are who you are or because you have asked somebody to do it on your behalf.
So now, talking about Zimbabwe education right now, how do you rate Zimbabwe in terms of, other countries?
Education in Zimbabwe is generally very good. It rates very high. Many, many countries do recognize the high standard that the education in Zimbabwe has attained. And we can do ourselves a disservice if we depart from the norms that we have always followed, namely that we give recognition to what the person has attained rather than just because it is whoever it is.
That was former Primary and Secondary Deputy Secretary Isaac Mpofu speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Social studies graduate and ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya believes that Zimbabwean degrees are still competitive, even if some people are challenging the awarding of a PhD to the president's wife.
It's not possible to get a degree without working for it. The first lady worked hard for this degree, especially if you look at the project that she had been doing, dealing with the orphans. Of course, the PhD is mainly about the international relations, but she did a lot of research, a lot of hard work, I'm told, on the offense in Zimbabwe, on what brings this, what causes all that offense and that kind of life. And she did her research and a lot of work along those lines. But she also attained earlier degrees with reputable universities in China. Therefore, those who have done, you can try your luck and see if you can be awarded a degree at the University of Zimbabwe for free. But what all these people I spoke to told me, it's impossible. Even students themselves said it. It's impossible to get a degree without working for it.
Mm, so, and then some people are disputing the year that she actually enrolled at the University of Zimbabwe. Are you privy to what you have been informed about the people that are involved there? And most probably, did you even see the thesis? How does it look like?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't looked at the thesis, and I also did not inquire much on the duration that she spent. But from what I'm telling you, that the standards are geared to strictly, that I got from the lecturers, that I got from the students, that I got from even the PEMSEC and even the Minister of Education. So I can tell you that whatever the whole nitty-gritties are all about, but the bottom line is it's not possible to get a degree with the University of Zimbabwe through other means besides working for it. They were very, very strong about it. They emphasized and they were very strong about the standards that the University of Zimbabwe maintains and adheres to strictly.
That was Social Studies graduate Morris Ngwenya speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. Did you know you can listen to web audio replays of our programs on our website and sign up for newsletters in English, Shona and Ndebele?
Visit our site at www.studio7news.com. You can also give us feedback by text message. Our number is 1-202-465-0318.
Provincial congresses of the MDCT are set to begin today, starting with Harare and Chitungwiza. According to party spokesman Douglas Monzora, the provincial congresses will nominate people to positions that they will contest for at the October elective congress. The MDCT congress will be held next month. Now it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women, hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Today we are chronicling the journey taken by Divine Ndlukula, the owner and founder of Securico, a security company. Mrs. Ndlukula was named in 2012 by Forbes magazine as one of Africa's most successful women entrepreneurs. Mrs. Ndlukula also works with the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce as the Deputy President and at the Women in Enterprise Conference and Awards, where she is working on programs to mentor young women who are interested in starting their own businesses. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Mrs. Ndlukula.
Thank you so much, Mavela.
You have started one of the largest security companies in Zimbabwe, and you've also been quoted by Forbes magazine as one of the progressive women in Africa. Tell us a little bit about how you started your company.
Well, I started from very humble beginnings. I just started from my kitchen, and of course, it's an idea that I saw after I saw an opportunity in the security services sector, that there was a lack of professionalism, there was a lack of quality provision. So I said there's an opportunity for me to provide a service that will please the customer out there. And that's what I simply did. And on that basis of creating value for the customer, I've grown this business.
Mrs. Ndlukula, we see that you had a women's meeting in Harare. Tell us a little bit about that meeting and how you're hoping to inspire other young women to also take up business.
Well, the meeting was discussing various areas that women require knowledge, that require assistance, where we felt that there was a need for us to converse around issues on ICT to help them harness their businesses, issues surrounding funding, issues surrounding value addition for those that produce primary products. And the conference, obviously, as we spoke, brought out a number of areas that, as we speak, we have actually come up with the resolutions that we are hoping throughout the course of the next 12 months we'll be looking at trying to implement those resolutions.
What kind of advice would you give other women that are hoping to also start their own businesses? Because a lot of people have been saying there are a lot of economic challenges right now in the country. Is it the right opportunity for women to get into starting a business?
Well, the advice I can give the women out there is believe in yourself first and foremost. Put your best foot forward and work as hard as you can. Put in the extra hour, certainly you will see the difference.
Do you have any other advice that you can give those that are already in business? You were talking about value addition. What other areas should they be looking at to survive in this current economic environment?
Well, I think in this current environment, one has got to really think outside the box. One has got to be looking at innovation, because if you're just going to be looking at the traditional way of running your business, it's no longer business as usual. For those that are in business, I think the most important thing is to have so much integrity. If you are going to misuse your dollar today, yes, long gone are the days when you could be buying a Mercedes-Benz when obviously your business is splitting. So my advice is, look, you would rather create more value in your business rather than could be consumptive at this stage. I think the consumptive era is gone, where people would just really be spending money because they are making money. It's really about trying to see how you can continue making more with the little that you are making.
And then also, as a result of the meeting, what are some of the challenges that women in the rural areas facing in terms of starting their own businesses when you compare to those in the urban areas?
One of the major problems that they face is market linkages. They've got nowhere to sell their products. They end up having to sell their products to crooks who give them absolutely nothing, and they work for literally the crook's middlemen. So that is one of the areas that we saw in the conference, that we really need to come up with a way to help women, to link them to the market. I think one of the things that they need is also information. Information dissemination is really for those that they've got access to newspapers, to televisions, to technology like social media and so on. So we've also been encouraging the women to be on social media so that they can quickly get to know what is happening in the marketplace.
Time is not on our side. Thank you, Mrs. Divine Ntlukulu, the owner of Securico Security Company, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum.
Thank you, Marvelous.
The Women's Forum was hosted by Marvelous Mplanganyahuye in Washington.
Marvelous Mplanganyahuye, we hope you are going to enjoy your weekend. And finally, in sports news, some independent sports analysts say the Zimbabwe Premier Soccer League, which is in an advanced state right now, is being hampered by lack of sponsorship due to the current harsh economic environment in the country. They say this has resulted in the poor performance of clubs taking part in the Africa Club Championships. One of them, Cassius Jays, predicts that Dynamos will win the league title this year, but will fail to live up to expectations.
Yeah, from the look of things, it's not very much clear at the moment, but it's in favor of Dynamos a little bit, because Dynamos usually, for the past two or three seasons, they've been playing very well on the last game, so it put them in a very good position to challenge for honors. They are playing very well at the moment. They've picked up the form, unlike their challengers, which is Highlanders, which have been breathing on their necks. They seem to be losing the team every game. They are losing points home and away. So I think Dynamos is in a good position.
We have noticed that in the past, Dynamos does very well at domestic level, but when they play other teams, they don't seem to be doing well. What do you think is the problem?
I think the problem is with the sponsorship. The local teams are not getting enough sponsorship. When they go into international assignments, they find it difficult. The morale is very low. They come across some very, very strong teams which have got some very good sponsorship, like the teams from DRC, TP Mazembe, Zamalek from Egypt, Tunisia Experience from Angola, all those top countries. I mean, even in South Africa here, we've got some very strong teams that have got a very good sponsorship. So it makes it very difficult for our teams, even in traveling arrangement. You find that at times they're usually delaying in going to away games. It takes a lot of energy. The players, they arrive there very late. They don't have enough time to rest. They play under very, very difficult circumstances. It's very difficult. Yeah, I think the league at home is not up to scratch at the moment.
That was independent sports analyst Cassius Jayce speaking to Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa.